Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Wolverine 24/7 podcast, your audio source for all things Michigan football, basketball, and recruiting. I'm your host, Zach Shaw. Steve Lorenz here with me as well. And we are talking about the Wolverines' 35-14 blowout loss at Wisconsin. Certainly up there in terms of surprising losses. Lots of content over at the MichiganInsider.com, Michigan.247sports.com. Still kind of doing some of the what happened type stories. You know, what was said, what did they have to say after the game, what went down. But then starting to shift more toward the what it means, I'll have a story probably around the time you start to listen to this podcast about Michigan seems broken, you know, and it is, there is no, unlike in the past where they were a quarterback away or an offensive coordinator, you know, one piece here, one piece there, and they've got it. They need a lot of pieces, and there is no clear roadmap to success for the Wolverines, and that's not what the Wolverines wanted with such a daunting schedule. So rather than our typical 247 format, we're going to try to do something similar, but we're going to lead with the questions for sure. I don't think anyone really cares about the two game balls. We'll see how we do on time, but most likely probably just the questions and the takeaways. So first, Steve, you were just saying before the show, this is the most flabbergasted you've been after a Michigan game. Where does this rank among the losses in the Jim Harbaugh era for you?
I do think it's the worst one. I think Ohio State last year, really the only other one I think I'd put in the same stratosphere as this one, just because, again, you know, we've said it going into the season. I mean, it's year five. And what we saw, the product we saw on the field yesterday was an unprepared, undisciplined mess. And it was the combination of all of that stuff that just had me pretty much at a loss for words immediately after the game yesterday. I think this is the worst because even with that loss against Ohio State last year, that was more of your season hopes are dashed loss. There are a million more questions now about the program after yesterday than there was, in my opinion, after the loss to Ohio State last year. And at this point in Harbaugh's tenure at Michigan in the fifth year, this is like the wrong time to be having, those types of issues pop up or to come out and lay the type of egg that they did yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, that's a good point. I was thinking of the Ohio State one, because that one, you know, you don't totally know what you have with Michigan right now. It's just hard to tell, and you don't know what Wisconsin is yet. I know you're not totally sold on them. I think, to me, they looked like a top 10 team. They looked like a team that will at least give Ohio State a game. But again, we have to see that to happen. I mean, if Wisconsin ends up being the best team on Michigan's schedule, then maybe getting blitzkrieged in your first road game of the season. You know, kind of like Northwestern last year, everyone was like, oh no, that was a terrible game. Turned out Northwestern was pretty solid and Michigan bounced back fine. Obviously that's different because they won that game, but that's where I'm kind of a little wait and see. To me, Ohio State last year, the way it was built up, the fact that Michigan believed in its playbook so much and believed it had the right game plan. And then, granted, Ohio State was super talented and just hadn't shown it all year. But to just completely flip what everyone thought that game was going to be, and the fact that there were titles, title implications on the line, to me, that one probably still takes the edge. But you do have a good point that as far as which game is the worst game of the Harbaugh era, like when did the team look the worst, it's probably this one, you know. And that's as you said, game 55 should not be the worst game. Our next question actually is very similar. From what we've seen, where does the 2019 team rank among Jim Harbaugh's teams at Michigan? So 15 16 17 18 19. This was something that just came up to me. I was curious, because does this team beat the team that you know, gave Utah a game in Salt Lake City in Jim Harbaugh's first game. I'm looking at the different position groups, and again, Michigan, you know, teams have bad games. Ohio State lost, got blown out by Purdue on the road last year, right? And Michigan State lost at a unranked Nebraska team in 2015. And really, actually, every Big Ten champion under in the Jim Harbaugh era has had a road loss clunker type game. You know, Penn State lost to Michigan by 39, went on to win the Big Ten title. But where does this 2019 team rank? Because frankly, I think it would beat the 2017 team, but I'm not certain. And I don't think that they would beat anybody else based on what we've seen so far.
No, I don't. I think it's, you know, again, looking back, they're lucky to be 2-1. They very, very easily could be 1-2 right now, which is unfathomable when you consider the expectations that they had this year, the returning experience offensively. So, I mean, at best, you'd have to pick them over the 2017 team. But, I mean, I don't know. You know, this team, a lot, again, the talent level for this team is far higher than 17. But, the product thus far has been, you know, incredibly disappointing.
Yeah. Let's keep it big picture, just because we're in a groove here. Another question, and by the way, we didn't post the questions, but we tried to come up with questions that we think the listeners would want to know or think some of our readers would want to know, just based on the mentions that we've seen. And maybe, I don't know about you, Steve, I've not gotten back to commenting on people's comments just yet. just trying to focus on writing. Yeah, but next question, what is holding Michigan's offense back the most? And this is something that I know came up to you when you were rewatching it this morning. It is bizarre that the offense has regressed from last season. And I don't, you know, this is a good question. This is not necessarily one where there's an easy answer, but the offensive line doesn't look there yet. I mean, there were certainly good moments in pass protection, but the run blocking, they were getting moved, which is not what you want. And then they still are kind of allowing a lot of sacks. Shea Patterson, we'll talk about him in a different question, but he doesn't quite, not really sure what Michigan has there. Certainly doesn't look like he is remotely what he was in 2018. You know, the play designs, the routes seemed like they weren't getting open. I don't know if that's Wisconsin. I don't know. Sometimes those things are hard to tell. The scheme, if Nick Eubanks is going in the press room and saying he doesn't feel like the offense has an identity. I mean, and by the way, for those curious, I wrote the story, Nick Eubanks said that. The question he was asked was if he feels like this is a rock bottom moment for Michigan. He said, not necessarily this offense. I feel like we don't have an identity, which is such, you know, I'll give him a lot of credit for being so honest, but that is not what you're supposed to, that's not supposed to be a takeaway that you have when you lose, you know, your first football game of the season. That, you know, when you're a top 10 team, you're supposed to be able to lose one, maybe two, and that's it. If you lose 35-14, don't score until deep into the third quarter, that's supposed to be rock bottom. So Steve, anyway, back to the question, what is holding this offense back the most in your eyes? Like, which, whether it's coordinator, coaching, scheme, play calls, play design, execution, talent, what's keeping this team from progressing on offense, which is what was almost universally expected heading into the season?
Almost all of the above, I guess, except for talent, probably, because the talent is there. I mean, we have to call a spade a spade at this point. The Josh Gattis hire has been beyond underwhelming. When you consider the returning experience they had, both up front and at quarterback, you know, for Patterson's shortcomings, he had one of the most efficient years that a Michigan quarterback's had last year. You know, you bring that back with a supremely talented receiving core, Tariq Black's healthy. You know, you have your best player for the first two games of the season was a player at a position where the biggest question mark was when you had a great player at running back in Charbonnet.
True freshman, too.
So, yeah. So, I mean, I just think it's kind of all of these things. That's what I said. I think that, you know, I know the defense got shredded, and we're obviously going to get into that. But the biggest takeaway for me is that this offense has been just a flat out 100% dud at this point. And to me, it's inexcusable when you consider, you know, what I just mentioned about the experience and talent that they have in that unit. I mean, it is inexcusable for them, especially coming off of a bye week, to look as shaky, unprepared, undisciplined. Just to look the way that they did offensively yesterday was inexcusable. I mean, it's just, you know, I think Michigan fans have reason to be very upset, very disappointed about how that hire has panned out so far. Again, I mean, it's got to be said. I mean, how do you watch that game yesterday and not have that sense or have that feel at this point? You know, and is there time for them to turn it around? I suppose, but you know, the thing is, like, I don't know about you watching the game live, but at least me watching it here yesterday, I can't even really come up with any positive takeaways to build off of right now going forward. I mean, it was a clown show the whole way through. And I think that's where it's iffy all of a sudden, you know, is that there really wasn't anything you could look and say, well, they did do this, this, and this. So, you know, that's something that they can kind of, you know, build off of, work towards, use that to work towards, you know, a rebound here or, you know, come back strong or whatever. But I didn't see any of that yesterday in any facet offensively.
Well, the only thing I saw were those last few drives, which is definitely has the gigantic grain of salt that it was the last few drives of a blowout. Wisconsin doesn't really care. They were playing starters and two deep players, but obviously it's a totally different setting. But when they just started chucking the ball around, right, Nico Collins making some grown man catches, Tariq Black doing the same, Peoples Jones had the touchdown. They had almost 200 yards receiving themselves in the fourth quarter. But in a way, just like everything with Michigan so far this season, it's almost like when you're good, how you know things are bad is when you do something well, the fans are almost more mad because they're wondering where that's been. And to me, that's a big one, because we don't get to see practice. It's a bummer. We would love to be able to provide that kind of analysis for listeners and readers, but Michigan doesn't let us. You know, we don't get to be, nobody in the country knows how these plays and everything's drawn up. Hard, you know, you can't say unflinchingly that Josh Gattis is the problem, but if he's being put in charge of who's getting the ball, and this is something that we asked him about in the summer, in the spring, even before the bye week, you know, getting the ball to Nico Collins, getting the ball to Tariq Black, you know, Peoples Jones once he returns to health. You know, how do you, you know, passing versus running? Why is Zach Charbonnet getting 33? These are questions he was asked. And his statement always was the system is designed so that the ball finds the playmakers. You know, suddenly all these things that he says, they don't add up because they don't show on the field. So yeah, I'd say so. Can the offensive line be better? Yes. Can the running back depth, got a question about that. Can that be better? Yeah, it kind of has to be if you're talking any sort of, you know, upset over some of these other highly ranked teams. Can Shea Patterson be better? Yes. Hold that thought. We'll talk about it in a moment. But yeah, I think you're right. You know, watching some of yesterday's game on replay, I'm looking at these routes and I'm thinking, Wisconsin didn't even have to move, and the guy was never open. I mean, I'm not an offensive coordinator. Certainly, you know, would try it if I had that kind of brain power and savvy. But it's just puzzling to me how the receivers are so unopen, how the offense, it just seems discombobulated. You know, it almost seems like they would be better off just doing the 2018, which I'm not saying that that's necessarily the answer, but at least then everyone knew what was going on and it worked for what it was. And I think Wisconsin's a good evidence that when you have the right pieces and you know what you are, you can move the ball up and down the field all day.
So, I mean, if they were running the same scheme as they were last year, they would not have come out like that yesterday. You know what I mean? And I think that's where, I mean, is this system too complicated to, you know what I mean? Those are kind of and that's on the coordinator, you know, at the end of the day, in my opinion, when again, going into the season, everybody, you know, up in arms, making sure, like, this is Gattis's offense. Harbaugh is hands off here. And he has been. I mean, he doesn't have anything, you know, up on the sidelines. He doesn't have anything. You know, he doesn't seem to have much input or any input on any play calls or anything like that. You know, and then, so it's, you know, when they, like I said, they come out as unprepared and just as discombobulated as they were yesterday. I mean, it's got to start at the top in that regard. So, you know, it's just. So if they were using the same scheme as they had last year, I don't think they'd have come out and looked as flat as they did. You know, yeah. Really their yardage, even on that first drive, it was a broken play. You know, it's not like it was a design. You know, that pass to Bell is not like that was by design. That was a broken play. Where I mean, it was a good,
it wasn't
nice
a
throw by Patterson.
Yeah,
nice play by Patterson. All that, but what I'm saying is that it's not, that wasn't like a call of by Gattis that got them that yardage. It was a, you know, kept the play alive, made a good throw type deal. So, I don't know. It's just it's just a loss of words offensively. So,
well, let's keep it, find some words because we're gonna keep talking about it. But the next question, what do you do with the quarterback position? And so the reason I haven't checked the message board. I'm sure this has come up. Shea did not look good. You know, and this is three games in a row. You know, I guess you could say there was an oblique thing, but this is three games in a row that he has not looked. I shouldn't say remotely. Maybe that's unfair because there have been some plays, but he has not looked like what he was and what he was expected to be. And I mean, just missing easy throws, missing medium throws, missing harder throws. You know, it seems like he wants to hold on to the ball again without. Going over the all 22 film, it's a little unfair for us to say, oh, he held onto the ball too long if the receivers weren't open. But it seems like, you know, we've talked about his decision making before, when to run, who to pass to, you know, which throws to make, which throws not to make. I mean, so I think I am under the impression he is the best quarterback Michigan has. But they do play Rutgers. You do kind of have, well, you know what you have with this team now is, you know, a team with severely lower expectations. Steve, if you're the offensive coaching staff, what do you do? And let's say hypothetically, Dylan McCaffrey is able to return from his concussion. What do you do with the quarterback position heading into this week?
That is a tough one for me. I'm not sure. Instinct tells me to give somebody else a chance. I mean, Patterson's had ample amount of time here to, you know, but when you make that call, you know, it's almost a point of no return in that regard. Cause you know, rarely does the guy who gets taken out. Yeah. I don't know. I could be totally off on this, but I feel like, when you make that call to replace your number one guy, just feel like it never ends up working out. With, like, say they were going with McCaffrey, McCaffrey struggles, they put Patterson back in. It just, you know, I don't know. I just feel like that is a recipe for not good things, you know. And so, but, you know, instinct for me was just give somebody else a shot, you know. And I say that saying that, you know, Patterson had one of the most efficient seasons a Michigan quarterback's ever had last year. But yeah, like you said, something's just not there, you know. And I know he's had his critics, and there are a lot of people that think he's overrated. But, you know, I think by and large last year he was very effective. And it's just, but it's been a different story this year. Like you said, missing easy passes, even on the first drive of the game, missing Collins. That was a touchdown, you know, and it just wasn't even close. And, you know, or like the other one with Collins, I think we talked about before we got on, where, and I saw it on Twitter this morning, but, you know, Collins' defender, the guy defending him, fell down. Collins is wide open. Patterson throws it into triple coverage. You know, this is like, this is just kind of head scratching decision making. And I don't know, Zach. The long end of it is, I'm not. I don't know. That's where I don't envy the staff in that regard and how they're going to handle it. It's obvious. You know, if they do go with Patterson, the leash is going to be, it's got to be incredibly short. Now, again, that's like you said, provided that McCaffrey is healthy and is able to go. I'm not convinced he will be, but I guess we may find out tomorrow, probably, but probably not. So I don't know. I don't envy him for that one. I think it's going to be a tough call for them.
Yeah, and so the reason I think this question is interesting, and certainly more interesting than it was 2 weeks ago, is that Michigan is actually playing a team that had a similar situation last year. So what can happen sometimes in college, and this is oversimplifying a lot here, but quarterbacks can sometimes just break, and what, you know, mentally. And so if you recall, Alex Hornibrook actually had a very good season in 2017. Wisconsin won 13 games. He threw three touchdown passes against Miami in the Orange Bowl. He was very good. And then in 2017, there were a couple so-so outings. And then he had a game like he did against Michigan where it was just atrocious. And then he just never was the same. He never was the same, you know. And they still won 8 games. And I think he looked pretty good in, if memory serves, I think he looked pretty good in the Pinstripe Bowl, also against Miami. But it just never, I mean, you know, they seemed pretty confident that they were going to go with Jack Cohn. And so Jack Cohn got a little bit of work, hit a couple starts last fall, and now suddenly he looks like he's exactly what Wisconsin needs. Still have to see the whole season. But is there, I think what Michigan has to do is they have to decide. They have to be very honest and realistic. Look right in the mirror and say, are there, how many more wins do they need? 8 more wins? Are there 8 more games that we can, you know, for Michigan, if we can realistically win on this schedule? Because if there aren't, I do think, you know, provided in the hypothetical that McCaffrey's healthy, I do think you start it. Start it now, because you play home against Rutgers, then home against Iowa, and then at Illinois. That's 3 games where you can kind of have a quarterback develop and get better. And they have film to work on, and they're not necessarily being thrown into a hornet's nest. So if they think that they can, if they really see what's missing differently than what we do, and they see, you know, wins over Notre Dame, Penn State, Michigan State, Iowa on the horizon, sure, go ahead and stick with what you have. But if not, I think that there's evidence out there that sometimes if a quarterback isn't showing you what they used to do, sometimes it's just gone. I don't know. Maybe that's being too blunt. Maybe I'm wrong here, but, you know, yeah, Shea just does not look the same. And I think the offense is part of it, but I think some of these throws and some of these things that he's seeing downfield versus what he's not seeing and these decision makings, I mean, this is just something. Something's up, in the sense that he did not progress, and from what we can tell, he regressed. We aren't in practice, fair to say, but yeah, I think Michigan has to look at itself and decide what it can be this season, and it's got to make its decisions based on that.
I agree.
Let's see, what's our next question?
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Oh, let's do defense. Don Brown, pretty statistically solid defensive coordinator. I mean, you know, we've talked about it. He's probably one of the top 5 or 10 defensive coordinators in the country. There was a time where he was viewed as maybe the number one. Something, I mean, this is the third straight game that Michigan's defense just was nowhere to be found in a third straight power conference game, I should say. Because they did well against Army, did solid against Middle Tennessee, but against Florida and Ohio State, and now Wisconsin, three different types of offenses, although Mullen and Meyer had similar offenses, but three different types of offenses. And they just haven't shown up. And then if you look at the game against Penn State back in 2017... maybe the game against Notre Dame, or at least the first half against Notre Dame last year. Do you have any sense for what happens to this defense in big games? I used to say it's because the other teams are faster, and maybe it was a speed issue, and they can't, you know, the angles don't work, and the closeouts don't work, and the edge isn't quite the same kind of principle when the other team is faster than you or as fast as you. Wisconsin didn't strike me as that. Is this a unique situation that Wisconsin just has exactly what it needs? Or is there some sort of pattern that when Don Brown's defenses go up against good teams, it just doesn't... whatever defense they were showing beforehand isn't quite there. I don't know, Steve. What did you make of the defense in yesterday's game?
I mean, the few things. I think one of the biggest things to me is, and we talked about this going into the game, is I think there maybe has to be a realization that that Hudson is what he is. You know, I don't know if we're gonna see that. You know, we heard all off season, and we did from various directions that he was gonna have a big bounce back year, and you know, again, I think yesterday another disappointment. In that regard, I think
what's funny about that is that's the first name you went to, and he actually, from a box score perspective, he had the best game, 14 tackles, a sack, and a tackle for loss. So if he's right, like that
score,
just shows
but
how
still,
but that just shows yeah. how difficult that game was for the Wolverines. That you know, if I mean, who's the defensive MVP in that game? I don't know right. how long you would have to take to come up with an answer.
I think that's where the onus is on us a little bit, you know, as I think so we're always looked at as, you know, the informants, you know, to give you a better idea of how the sausage is made, what's going on. I think we just very highly underestimated, you know, how good this unit or where this unit was going to go. I mean, The thing I kind of can't wrap my head around, and this plays into the whole idea of Brown maybe being a little bit stubborn, is I don't know if Chris Hinton or Mozzie Smith played at all yesterday, and I guess it get to a point in that game where if not now, then when are you going to give these young guys a shot? You know, I think for better or worse or right or wrong, I think the picture of, or just seeing Jordan Glasgow as a line up as a down lineman is going to be kind of one of those like memorable, but in a bad way, like things someday if this, you know, ends up not working out, you know, for the program under Harbaugh, sort of like in a, you know, like the Greg Robinson with the beaver, the stuffed beaver thing on the sidelines with Jonas Mouton. Like, I think a lot of people, maybe listeners, remember that. And it, kind of one of those, like, you know, that's the way I feel about the Glasgow thing. Yesterday it was just like, it was so like, what are you doing type deal, you know? And that means nothing against Glasgow. Glasgow's been one of their best players so far this year, you know, nothing on him, but just you know, I don't know, it's just, I mean, they got punched in the mouth. I don't know. I don't believe the unit is soft. Some people, many think that their the team came out looks soft. I think they did in certain areas, but I don't know if I would call the defense soft. I mean, they did get punched in the mouth and just didn't respond. Just too much inconsistency. And I think you mentioned it before, going with a 3-3-5 was a puzzling. What a puzzling direction to go, I kind of felt like.
I think so. Because that's actually one of our questions. We can knock it out pretty quickly. Don Brown's been coaching for a long time. I mean, there's a lot of experience in coaching on the staff. I think them going to 3-3-5, what it says is they don't believe that in their other defensive tackles. And they don't believe that they have, because, you know, maybe soft, it's hard. I hate to soft say
is,
that without
I think
knowing.
Soft is an ins. I think soft is kind of an insult in football terms. And again, if you've maybe if that's how you felt how they played, so be it. I don't particularly care to question the character of some of these kids. You know, I see the emotion, say like Aiden Hutchinson showing after the game. I mean, I'm not going to attack somebody like that. I'm not going to attack their character or you know, call them soft. I just think it's a bad route to take.
Yeah, so. Well, and I will say this, and it'll be in one of my stories. When you cover it live and you see their faces when they're getting on the bus, it was a very, it's a almost indescribable, the mixture of like frustration, but like rage. Like, they looked like the two things they needed in the world the most were a hug and then 30 minutes with a punching bag. Like, just, I mean, you know, you don't get to be a Division I player if you're not tough. At least, probably not on the defensive side of the ball, you know, where you're tackling people for, not for a living, but for your education and everything. Yeah, regarding the 3-3-5, I really think Michigan showed that it doesn't believe in its defensive line in the same way that it used to. And so I don't think it's a toughness issue, but Wisconsin, they just were bigger and stronger. It was like everything Michigan wanted to be in 2015 and 2016 just put right in their face. Because Jonathan Taylor, this might be something for someone who wants to rewatch and wants an interesting stat. They might want to look this up. How many times did Taylor actually get legitimately tackled? Not the weird forward progress mosh pits that seem to keep happening. Not, you know, going out of bounds, not scoring touchdowns. How many times did Taylor actually get brought down? And how many broken tackles did he have? Because I didn't keep track, but it felt like he broke more tackles than he actually received. And you saw missed tackles. You saw the line, the Wisconsin offensive line. They move a lot of people. But they were just, it just looked like they were playing a, you know, it seemed like one of those high school mismatches where one school has all these future college players and the other school's a small town, you know, no one's playing in college. They're like, you know, the 225-pound offensive lineman types. It just felt like, it just looked like a mismatch. And that's where you wonder about I think you have a good point. Chris Hinton and Mozzie Smith, at least they're 300 pounds. At least they're harder to move around. You know, even if they're not fully ready with their hands or the nuance or whatever. And they don't have to be polished gems here. You just need somebody to play. So yeah, I don't know if that's a Brown thing. I don't know if that's Sean Nua. I don't know. Maybe Maybe it's them, right? Maybe it's the players themselves. Maybe there is something that we don't see. But yeah, why a 3-3-5? Because it makes no logical sense. That forces me to think that there's an issue. They just do not feel confident in their defensive tackles right now.
I mean, it just by simple choice alone lends itself to that idea, right? The fact that is what they went with would lead you to believe that it has to be something related to that, you know. And you know, that's what we talked. The big question mark all year was the interior of the defensive line, and it's obviously so far it's been a massive disappointment, you know. And I think, and Wisconsin, like you said, maybe more than any team Michigan will play this year is the type of unit that's going to try to exploit you in between the tackles. And obviously, I mean, they had no problem doing it. So, yeah, it was, again, another egg on both sides. So, mm-hmm.
Let's do a quick recruiting one, just because I think this is something fans are curious about. I imagine we would have gotten at least one question about it, and I'd consider you the authority figure on this topic. What does a loss like this, I mean, how worried should fans be about recruiting? They do have three top 10 classes in 4 years, but does this kind of this and maybe the other ones to follow? I mean, what, from a recruiting standpoint, what could change in the 2020, 2021 classes if the team is indeed looking like it did on Saturday throughout the season? I guess where does the impact come from? How much is it, like, a 2 years down the road? Is Michigan stable enough that they could survive maybe another so-so season? Obviously, I think the easy answer is, well, it certainly doesn't help the Wolverines. But right. I guess how should fans evaluate this season when it comes to recruiting and what the impact can be?
I mean, as far as the impact of this individual game, it's always hard to kind of gauge what an individual game will do. My sense is if a kid was to reopen his recruitment now, that meant he probably really wasn't that committed to them in the first place. But at the same time, well, I mean, what did we just get done talking about, especially offensively? You know, if you're an offensive recruit, receiver, let's say, where this whole offense is about getting the guys, getting fast players the ball in space, you got to be kind of wondering, okay, well, where is it? And I know the easy recruiting pitch would be, that's why we're recruiting you, to because you're built for this scheme. But, you know, you'd at least want to start to see something tangible through three games. And like I said, coming off a bye and looking the way they did offensively, how does it not raise question? If it raises question marks with us, it has to raise question marks with kids and families who are looking to invest 3, 4, or 5 years of their life, you know, into the Michigan program. So it's never good. A loss isn't always like a horrible thing. I mean, it's never a good thing, obviously, but it, you know, if they'd have come out, lost a good, tough matchup against Wisconsin, then, you know, I think the impact would be negligible. But the way that they lost yesterday, yeah, I mean, I think you're running the risk of, you know, some of these guys, like I said, maybe some little thoughts maybe start to creep in the back of their head a little bit, you know. And so it's just something we'll have to watch. You know, there's not been any. I know Jordan Morant took an official visit to Texas A&M last weekend. I believe that was sort of a planned deal, but, you know, how do you know? You know, I wouldn't be shocked if we see a couple more of those situations pop up. No names that immediately come to mind, but just saying, I mean, you start to lose, and you know, that's when things can kind of go to hell as far as recruiting goes. So, yeah, a loss like that is a about a worst case. You know, it's really a worst case scenario in every facet, and recruiting is kind of falls under that umbrella too.
Mm-hmm. Glad I asked. Yeah, because I'm. Although Texas, yeah, it's a good, it's a fair question. Yeah, yeah,
yeah, fair question. Like I said, and I think context is always important, and in this regard, context, in my opinion, important in the negative variety. Right, that they're not doing, like, the offense especially hasn't shown Because Don Brown's track record as a defensive coordinator is still, it's still strong. I mean, he's had top 10 defenses, I believe, every year at Michigan, just about. Offensively, though, you're dealing with a coordinator who's never been in this position, never called plays before, and they have not looked impressive at all at any point. And so, you know, that's, I think, I guess if I was just, if I was spitballing, I think offensively is where the bigger question marks would be. If I was a recruit, I think it'd be on the offensive side, where it's not really so much a question of, hey, you're the type of guy we need in this system. Like, you know, we're struggling right now, but that's because we need guys like you. You know, because, A, that's ridiculous. They have a great, especially, say, like, receiver, offensive line. They have a bunch of future pros at both of those positions right now. So much as it is, like, just haven't seen it, and he's never done it before. So do we want to invest our future in something like that? So, you know, that's really what it comes down to.
Yep. All right, let's close with this question. We're not gonna do the takeaways and game balls because we've kind of discussed everything. I mean, game ball, we can actually do that real quick. Jonathan Taylor and Jack Cohn, maybe?
Sure.
Yeah, Wisconsin's offensive line is the third game ball. Wisconsin's defensive line is, you know, you get the idea.
No. Paul Christ gets a game ball.
You know, takeaways, we've already discussed everything. But here's our last question. Knowing how things go, knowing the schedule, knowing what we've seen so far, what is our new realistic expectation for Michigan the remainder of the season? So they play home against Rutgers, home against Iowa, at Illinois, home against Notre Dame, at Penn State, at Maryland, bye week, host Michigan State, travel to Indiana, host Ohio State. Steve, how did this game, well, we kind of know how, but how much did this game change your expectations for the season? And looking at those final nine games, what kind of season is this going to be for Michigan?
All bets are off, right? I mean, at this point, we don't really know. And I think that's, if you're a fan, I think then that's where there's some fear. If fear is something that you associate with football, maybe you should like take a break. But that's where like doubt really, you know, I guess doubt might be better, just starts to creep in, you know, as far as what this program is ever going to be under Harbaugh. You think about, like, I keep going back to, like, just think of the experience they have returning offensively this year. Is like all those guys will be gone. A lot of those guys will be gone next year. You're going to have a whole different group, you know, and like, because I think this was looked at as kind of their year in a lot of ways. And right now, I mean, I think I'd still pick them at home, let's say, against Iowa. But beyond that, we have to see things before I would pick them in any of their big remaining games. I still am not convinced that Penn State's that great. I know that Pitt win looks a lot better after Pitt beat UCF yesterday. But again, with that game on the road, not picking Michigan there, you think Notre Dame's offensive line might be better than Wisconsin's offensive line. I mean, Notre Dame's offensive line did a hell of a job yesterday against Georgia. I mean, that was one of the reasons they were in the game. Can't pick them to beat Notre Dame right now. And then obviously you can't pick them to beat Ohio State. Michigan State, I don't know. They looked better yesterday, but they obviously still haven't been very impressive. So who knows on that one. But yeah, I mean, really for the majority of their big games, I don't think I'd pick them in at least three or four of them. And so that's as things stand today. You know, and that's where it's up to them to kind of change their perception, turn this season around. And but yeah, who knows? I mean, this it could be a rough, because that was the other thing, and you know, we've talked about it, Zach. The schedule is brutal this year to begin with, mm-hmm. and I think going into the season, I think this game at Wisconsin was one of the games that we had kind of talked about as, you know, hey, Wisconsin's gonna have a new starting quarterback. They're getting him in September and not November in Madison. Like, it's a very, considering they're playing in Madison against Wisconsin, it's a very winnable game. And then they come out and get beat the way they did, you know, yesterday. just casts a lot of doubt on any of the big games remaining on their schedule, big time. So I don't know. Could be, you know, we'll just, we ask us, ask again. I don't know if next week would be fair, but you know what I mean, though? Like, it just, it's sort of, we'll have to revisit it, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, and what's crazy is suddenly road game at Indiana. I mean, are you yeah, for sure picking Michigan? Road game at Maryland? Are you sure? Absolutely, because it's, we're not, I know we're kind of piling on here, but I was, as I left Camp Randall Stadium yesterday, it was just incredible because it was like the exact same thing as almost every road trip I've done, right? You see the players looking miserable, you know, dejected. They looked a little bit more angry after this one, for, you know, you can take that for whatever you want. You know, the parents are like, they look like they're like leaving a funeral, like they hug each other, they have those grimace smile things, and they, you know, the reassuring pats on the arm, stuff like that, you know, like, see you next time, sorry we're seeing you under these circumstances, that kind of deal. You know, staffers are like silently and hurriedly putting everything in the truck so they can get out of Dodge as soon as possible. Yeah. And then meanwhile, I see Twitter notifications going off and off and off. It's like every time I'm not at Michigan Stadium, I feel like that almost happens. Because even if they win, you know, they've had some wins at Indiana, at Northwestern, at Minnesota, at Maryland. Like, even those, like, Michigan hasn't had a chest, other than East Lansing, Michigan hasn't really had very many chest-pounding road games. I mean, even the ones that they win, it's, you know, and Rutgers, they do fine at Rutgers too. But I'm thinking, like, you know, bowl games, Iowa, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Wisconsin, Penn State, Indiana, Maryland. I mean, you know, it's just a different animal. So there's two parts to that. One, I do think that they'll beat Iowa and Michigan State at home. That's my personal belief. Come yell at me if I'm wrong. If you feel inclined, don't think you really should. But I agree with you on Notre Dame and Ohio State. I think those two teams are just significantly better than Michigan right now. Kind of bizarre how it can change so quickly, but, you know, proof's in the pudding.
Notre Dame looked bad against Louisville. And then yesterday they had a game-winning drive on the road to beat Georgia. I mean, they had the ball when the game ended. So, yeah, I mean, it can turn around quick, so I guess there is hope. You know, if you're a Michigan fan, there's hope in that regard. But at the same time, though, we just, again, there are no signs. There's nothing, well, there are maybe a couple, but nothing, like, major that we can look and say, well, there's this that they can build off of, like I said earlier. You know, and
right,
so that's,
right.
You know, yeah.
Well, and you always wonder about the morale of a team. And, again, you know, I think you had a good point. There's no reason to get personal with how you feel about X teenager playing football for the team that you root for. You know, this is a message to the fans and for us analyzing it, team that we cover. But you do wonder, I mean, again, in the Peach Bowl, kind of hung around in Ohio State. It's like both those games, they're just reached a point where the team maybe not gave up, but the floor fell beneath them. Wisconsin, it was like as soon as they fumbled, and as soon as that one catch that was a catch, the Ronnie Bell completion that was overturned, like as soon as that happened, it was like for about 20 minutes of game time, Michigan just wasn't even there on either side of the ball. And so you do wonder if they, say they lose to Iowa or Illinois, do the gates just open? Is it just a complete train wreck of a season? The opponents certainly could make it that way. See, I'm looking at it. I think they'll get Iowa at home. I think they'll get Michigan State at home. I don't think they'll get Ohio State or Notre Dame. I don't think they'll get Penn State. I've seen that atmosphere. That's significantly tougher than Wisconsin by quite a margin. But I do wonder. I think there's room for a fourth loss, and that would bring them down to 7-5, and that would be,
that would make for quite the offseason for Michigan.
It'd be an absolute disaster. I mean, there's just no other way to put it. In a year where I think that Vegas at the beginning of the year had them as the favorite to win the Big Ten, to go 7-5 would be, I mean, it would be disaster of epic proportions, all things considered. So
yeah. So we'll see. I mean, I think you do bring up a good point. Teams have clunkers. Sometimes teams, Penn State is an example. They looked pitiful, and they actually were starting. They had a new offense under Joe Moorhead, who is Josh Gattis's probably top mentor, but they looked terrible against Michigan on the road. Did well for themselves the rest of the way. Wisconsin has done it in the past. Michigan State made it to the playoff with a road loss. Ohio State has had clunkers on the road. It happens. We'll see what happens with Michigan, how they get better. But I think the point that is probably the most damaging for the self-esteem of Michigan fans and for Michigan itself is I don't think you don't currently see a path to getting better. You can say, oh, it'll get better. Or, oh, they won't go 5-4 the rest of the way. But asked for evidence, I don't know what you provide. So that's the real anchor in Michigan's season right now is, they say they'll get better, but how? That's a question we can't answer. So on that note, a different kind of podcast today. Hopefully you still enjoyed it. Hopefully we addressed some of the bases. If not, you can shoot me a question and maybe we'll throw it in the Thursday podcast. But for Steve Lorenz, I'm Zach Shaw. This has been the Wolverine 24/7 podcast. Read all of our stuff over at themichiganinsider.com, michigan.247sports.com. Hope you had fun. Hope you learned something. We'll see you later on this week.